The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, the US President Donald Trump has demanded a say in picking Iran's next leader, while an Ayatollah in Iran has called for the shedding of Donald Trump's blood in a rare televised message. Here's the US Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth speaking at US Central Command.
We have only just begun to fight and fight decisively. If you think you've seen something, just wait. The amount of combat power that's still flowing, that's still coming, that we'll be able to project over Iran is a multiples of what it currently is right now when you add up our capabilities and those of the Israeli Defense Forces. The dumb, politically correct wars of the past were the opposite of what we're doing here. They had vague objectives with restrictive, minimalist rules of engagement. No more. Our capabilities are overwhelming and gathering still, as are those of our Israeli partners. Our munitions are full up, and our will is ironclad.
Well, the U.S. Defense Secretary also said there's more firepower to come.
When we say more to come, it's more fighter squadrons, it's more capabilities, it's more defensive capabilities, and it's more bomber pulses more frequently. The amount of firepower over Iran and over Tehran is about to surge dramatically. And part of it is that we're going to have even more basing. And it's not just the UK. We've had other friends step up, and we're grateful for that.
Well, Borzo Daragahi is a Middle East journalist and analyst and joins me now. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. We're listening to Pete Hegseth there and wondering what's to come over the next number of days and hours. But there is a certain amount of bravado and propaganda going on here. I mean, where do you believe the truth lies in terms of how much more firepower the Americans can devote to this conflict?
Well, I think they can devote more firepower. The question is, to what end? The way he is talking, it might scare normal Iranians and intimidate them. But the regime is not a normal entity. It is very ideological. The statement that Trump made that he wants a say in picking the next supreme leader, well, that is exactly what this whole war is about. It's about, from the Iranian point of view, it's about their sovereignty and dignity, as they would put it. And so that would be a kind of non-starter. That would be the kind of interference that they would rather die than tolerate. So the bravado is kind of unnecessary. Everyone knows in the world how much firepower it is. I think it's meant for a U.S. domestic audience to show things are in control, when in reality it is a numbers game and U.S. munitions are running short, according to experts.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us a sense of what has happened overnight and your assessment of where we stand today?
Look, you got to be really careful because there's so much misinformation out there. But the airstrikes have continued. And one of the most shocking developments that has happened is the use by Iran of these cluster munitions-like weapons that people had not known that they had before. And these are quite dangerous when they're fired upon, for example, Tel Aviv, a densely populated city, because it's impossible to intercept every single one of those dozens of explosives that are emitted from these cluster weapons. And also you have had reports of devastating airstrikes in Tehran and so on, but it's hard because of the censorship in both countries to get a sense of what has been hit and what kind of damage it has been done.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we spoke earlier in the week with Matt Fry in particular about how Iran's strategy is to spread the theater of war across the region. Do you agree that that is what they're trying to do? Disrupt shipping, disrupt the Gulf, the element of surprise and international economic turmoil?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But look, I don't understand the surprise and shock. Iran has been saying for 20 years that if the U.S. attacks it, this is exactly what it's going to do. It's going to spread the conflict. And those Gulf countries that Iran has hit, they are hosting the U.S. bases that are serving as communications and command and control hubs for the U.S. military. In addition, you have U.S. military personnel that have been staying in hotels, it turns out, that are being targeted by the Iranians, just as the U.S. and Israel has been targeting senior Iranian officials. Iran's trying to reciprocate.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the words of the Ayatollah, which we reported earlier. Mark my words, the US will come to bitterly regret the precedent it has set, calling for the shedding of Zionist blood. I mean, we just don't know what the Iranian capabilities are with regard to weaponry, to stockpiles, to the number of interceptors that it has. That's the unanswered question, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean the number of interceptors that Israel and the U.S. have is you know the issue. That I don't think Iran has a lot of counter defensive measures, which is a shame for the civilian population of Iran. But yeah, it is a numbers game. It's about how much the weaponry that Iran has. But look, the Iranians are welcoming a ground invasion. They are ready for this. For those regime supporters that make up 15 to 20% of the population, this is something that they dream of, to be able to die in battle, to serve as a martyr for the Islamic regime and the Iranian nation. And so I think it's a really dangerous game that the U.S. is playing here in that sense, is because I don't think they know exactly. This particular administration has sidelined the Iran experts, eliminated the State Department from consultations, kept the Persian speakers out of the loop, so to speak. So they're not really sure what they're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we know what Donald Trump has said about his logic for going in, that it was me or him. They were about to attack us. No American was safe. Do you accept that? Or what do you think the reason is for this conflict started by the Americans and the Israelis 7 days ago?
I think it's a kind of a long story that it's hard to get into here. But, basically they were he was gaslit into launching this war at a certain point. His credibility was on the line. His tough guy image was on the line once he had those military assets arrayed around Iran. And if he had backed off, he would have looked like a wimp in his mind. And so this is the danger that is there, that this war was not really planned well. It was, the goals are not defined. I think that the casus belli, the reason for war that he gives is, to put it kind of mildly, really questionable. I think it was a kind of ill thought out war of choice that probably will not end up well for the Iranians or the Americans.
Going back to what you said, that there are some in Iran who would welcome a ground invasion. I mean, do you see the prospect of American troops in Iran?
Not troops in the sense of like the Iraqi invasion, but yeah, definitely, commandos, CIA operatives and so on. And, using maybe a proxy force like the Kurdish militias that they are apparently working with.
Mm-hmm.
But this would be, another step in mission creep, because once you have that element in, what's the next step is that when that doesn't work, then you have to bring in ground troops. And once you take control of a certain area, you have to bring in others to keep that control, to advance and so on. So this is kind of the mission creep that we're seeing on a very, very, very steady and rapid pace.
Because that's what you have to do, isn't it? If you want to effect a regime change, you have to get right in there. So if Donald Trump says, well, I'm not happy with their choice of next leader, then that means you want to pick the guy who's running Iran. If you want to do that, you've got to get right in there. If you're going right in there, you're going to be stuck there potentially for years.
Yeah, and he keeps saying these things and he keeps moving the goalpost. It's about nuclear weapons. It's about missiles. It's about freedom for Iranians. It's about me picking the leader. And he keeps putting these goals out there. And each time he does, he will get a reaction from the Iranians. It will harden their resolve. Overnight, the Israelis hit a beloved sports stadium in Tehran, where they do volleyball and wrestling matches, Olympic caliber stadium. I mean, this kind of message, it only brings this kind of bombing, this kind of action only brings the people together, as you would imagine if that would happen in Ireland. If someone hit a sports stadium, how would that make people feel? And so I don't understand the strategy here, except this kind of blitzkrieg-like total war vision.
Mm-hmm. What about the response of NATO? We heard from Mark Rutte over the last 24 hours or so saying that there's no intention or no plan to trigger Article 5, the mutual defence clause. But he didn't come out and say, as others have done, that Donald Trump has breached international law here. I mean, he referred to the threat that he believed was coming from Iran. Did you expect them to have a more clear-cut position on this invasion, essentially, or conflict?
No, I actually didn't. I'm surprised that they didn't intervene, you know, on because of the signaling that the EU was giving and the NATO was giving. But I think the EU is too divided to be, you know, actively involved in this. But, you know, the bottom line is there's no NATO provision that would bring NATO to bear in case a member country attacks another country without provocation or declaration of war. So, you know, there is no NATO trigger in this particular scenario because the Americans and the Israelis were the belligerents.
Mm-hmm. Except Turkey, you know, there was some activity in the skies over Turkey. And you could argue, if you wanted to, well, look, we need to defend Turkey in this. You know, if NATO were of a collective mind that they wanted to object to this using Article 5, there is logic and reason there for them to do it, but they've clearly chosen not to. Mark Rutte treading that fine line, saying that some NATO allies really support the United States and Iran was becoming close to being a threat to Europe.
Yeah, but it just hasn't happened yet. There is in terms of Turkey, I'm in Istanbul now, and I can tell you that Turkey was upset by the drone or missile that was going towards Incirlik Air Base, where U.S. military forces are based. But they are not going to, they're super against the war, and they're not going to ask for some kind of NATO intervention on their behalf. But the bottom line is that the Iranians are a kind of nuisance to Europe, and they have been a threat in the past, and they have caused minor security worries, but not enough to trigger this kind of war.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what will be a huge security threat to Europe is if Iran collapses, as Israel seems to say that it's all right with, and there's massive refugee flows to Europe.
Yes, that will change that dynamic, I'm sure. Well, it all remains to be seen what's going to happen. Even over the next coming days, Borzu, going back to what we heard from Pete Hegseth at the top, where he's threatening all sorts of hell fury. But thank you very much for now for joining us. Borzu Dharagahi, who's a Middle East journalist and analyst.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.